Great job. Fantastic job. Fabulous job. Beautiful. Praise the Lord, Kat. Great job. Awesome. Praise the Lord, everybody. You ready for some Holy Ghost tonight? Go to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Let's get right into the Word for a little while. Then we'll lay hands on you, minister to you, and see what God does. We're going to talk about something that is going to be really important for your future, something that's going to make a difference in your life. Luke 16 and verse 20. There was a rich man, there was a certain beggar, whose name was Lazarus, which laid at the rich man's gate, and he was full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Praise the Lord. So I want to talk to you tonight about the manifest and tangible presence of God. And how that, you know, and it's taken me a long time to figure this out, but I finally realized that there are a lot of people who are Christians, who are believers. They go to church, they live their lives, but they don't live it in the manifest presence of God. How many of you have ever just sung a song, and when you heard that song, you just started crying because the presence of God came on you, and you actually felt the presence of God? And you could feel it while you were under that. You could feel your heart melting, bad feelings leaving. You could feel the Holy Spirit convicting you. You were ready to repent, to apologize. You're ready to get rid of something in your life. You're ready to do whatever you had to do to be right with God. Just because you were in the presence of God. The presence of God is God's medicine. It is everything you and I need to be able to survive this world and to survive the people of the world. And if you and I don't learn where to find the manifest presence of God, the literal, tangible presence of God, then we're going to simply have a lot of information, but we're not going to have a lot of supernatural assistance and help. And how many of you find yourselves needing the assistance and help of God? How many find yourself like that almost sometimes daily, where you're like, oh God, I really need your help right now, because everything I want to do right now is not the Holy Spirit. It's not of God. I have enough Bible knowledge to know that these are not the things I ought to be thinking and I ought to be saying and I ought to be feeling. And these are not the things that probably I ought to be doing and probably what I'm going to do and probably I'm going to do it anyway. But I just don't want to do it. And I know it shouldn't do it, but I don't really care right now because my heart is hard. I don't care about anything. And I'm just going to do whatever I want. And I'm so sorry. I need your help so bad, because this is the way I'm going to be. And I'm going to be like this no matter what. And I am a wild boar running through the forest right now. My teeth are out and I'm going to just gouge and you know, like that. And you realize, my gosh, I really need Jesus. I really need help. I need God. I need the presence of God. And the truth is, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the truth is that you can't really go very far without the manifest presence of God. Unless God's presence is with you, and some of the things you guys are going to face and you're going to go through, you're going to fail. You know, you're going to make mistakes. Some of the mistakes could be too tragic, possibly to repair. So you don't want that to happen. You want to have God's tangible presence. That, whenever it is you felt it, wherever you felt it, however long ago you felt it, where you just said, you know, right now, here in this tangible presence of God, Psalm 16, In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord. And Moses said it in Exodus 33. Wherever you send me, I'll go. However, I don't want to go if your presence is not going with me. Right? Because if we have to deal with people that provoke our flesh, and we have to deal with circumstances that are bigger than our strength, right, and if we've got to deal with supernatural powers that know how to fight better than we do, and we don't have the help, the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit, we are going to be defeated. You're just not going to make it. You're going to have these terrible things happen that are not supposed to happen. They're not in God's plan. But because we live so much of our life outside of God's presence, literally we are fighting battles with our own strength. We are fighting people with our own strength. We are fighting ourselves with our own strength. And sometimes you can be a very formidable enemy, you yourself. I mean, you have defeated yourself a lot of times. You know, you've beat yourself up a lot of times. You know, you've laid there in bed and just beat your brains out. I mean, just slaughtered yourself. And you needed help, you know. Psalm 94:19, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your comforting thoughts heal my soul. Praise God. So here you are, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you've done, whatever you've been through, whatever poisons you have taken throughout your life that have violated you and made you weak and made you vulnerable and exposed you to Satan and exposed you to things of evil. You're just without God's presence, tangible presence, there's not going to be the life that you have been promised by God. And how many of you want that? How many of you want that? Praise the Lord. What if you're married to a person that really doesn't love God all the time? You know? What if you have a child that doesn't walk with God all the time? What if you're in a circumstance that's so big and so much bigger than you that you can't just fix it by just speaking words? It's bigger than just words. It's like, God, you have got to preserve me inside of the cocoon of your holy presence. I need to feel that release from fear and stress and pressure and burdens and all those tormenting things. And the only place you can find that, obviously, is the presence of God, the tangible presence of God. You've got to feel the presence of God, just like you have whenever you've heard a song or you've ever had a touch from God, and it just fixed everything in 1 or 2 seconds. Everything was okay because you touched the hem of His garment. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, you won't stop being mean. You know? You're not going to stop lying. You're not going to stop doing other stuff. And so you're going to walk like for 10 or 20 years doing things. God's not going to kill you for them, but they're going to kill you. I mean, God doesn't kill you for anything, but you kill yourself, right? Condemnation is lethal. Guilt is lethal. Fear is lethal. A guilty conscience, lethal. Unbelief and doubt, totally lethal. A loss of hunger for God and passion, lethal. You have to have the presence of God right there when you wake up in the morning and you just open your eyes. You have to have the presence of God, especially if it's one of those days where there's more opposing burdens and circumstances and threats and fears. There's more of them than there is comforting, victorious encouragements. And you've got like 5,000 discouraging things and like 2 encouraging things. And you're like, oh my gosh. It's so out of balance, you need the presence of God. What I want to do is show you where God hides Himself. Because if you can locate God, you will locate God's presence. If you can go where God is, then you can find the presence of God. The presence of God is just not everywhere. That's just a religious terminology. God is everywhere. We understand that, but that's not good enough, because it's the manifest presence we're talking about. We're not talking about the general idea of God being omniscient or omnipresent, you know, or omnipotent. We're talking about, wait a second, I sense the presence of God right now. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And no evil presence can dwell in the presence of God. No demon can be there. No doubt, no fear, no unbelief can dwell in the manifest presence of God. All of them have to leave. What you and I have to do is be honest enough with ourselves to say, you know, most of my Christianity is knowledge. But how much of it is the manifest presence of God? Because that's the only thing that's going to keep you soft. Think about how many people in your life have more power over your attitudes than the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about it. How many of us have our day ruined by certain people, and we don't want to, but they have a lot of power over us because we're not in the presence of God, where that stuff cannot penetrate past the shield of the manifest presence of God. The presence of God is the supernatural arms of God holding you up in circumstances where you have no strength, or you have no wisdom, or you have no faith, or you have no understanding. And it's God just holding you up by giving you supernatural patience in a situation where you would be flying off the handle and just hurting people. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, we're all the same. It's not like one person's better than another person or anything. But I want to show you that, because this is something I have noticed all over the world, is that there are a lot of people who are Christians in their beliefs. They're born again. If they die, they'll go to heaven. But they don't walk in the presence of God, so they have the same problems lost people have. Do you think that's what we're supposed to have? If we have Jesus inside of us, aren't we supposed to be different? Not in like, I'm better than you or holier than you or none of that foolishness. But in the sense that I have God, I have the manifest presence of God with me and on me. And if you don't know where to go to find it, how many of you know God doesn't show up for a bunch of selfish behavior? If you're just totally selfish, you're not going to feel the presence of God. He's not going to just show up. If you're lusting after something, the presence of God's not going to show up for that.
Right?
Right? If you're lying all day long, the presence of God's not going to show up for that. If you're hating all the time, the presence of God's not going to show up for that. That doesn't mean you're not saved, but you don't have the tangible presence of God, which is able to keep you and preserve you, Jude 24, from all evil presence. Praise God. That's pretty exciting. Right? It's like singing in church, and you sing in church, and you sing in church, you're singing, oh, Jesus. You're singing, but you don't feel a thing. You might as well be singing about a dog eating a cat, because you're just not feeling anything. You know what I'm saying? You're just not, there's just nothing going on. But then you sing a song. And it is the song written for your heart right at that moment. And you leave earth and you're lost and you never want it to end. You just want it to go on and on and on and on. Oh, Jesus. Because you know that it takes a miracle to make some of you cry. Right? And then others of you, you're crying all the time, not because of God. You just cry because you're miserable. So you have the untouchables, and then you have those that are just being manipulated by life, And then you have those that are trying to find God. And this message is about where to find God every day on a daily basis. Praise the Lord. So these things I'm going to share with you, this is where I have found God. And I don't have everything and know everything and nothing like that. But these are the places where I have found God. And I have found this out about God. He hides. God hides. You're not going to trip over Him. You're not just going to be doing your own thing and all of a sudden He's going to pop up. You're not going to be robbing a bank and God just, hey, let's praise. Let's worship. It's not going to happen. He may do some intervention thing once or something, but on a daily basis, you know, it's not going to happen. So what I want you to ask yourself tonight is how much of God do you tangibly have? How much of His presence do you tangibly have? Not intellect, not even Bible knowledge, but how much of what you really need. I know in my life, there have been times when if I didn't have the presence of God, honestly, I think I would be in jail. Especially when I didn't have anybody there to talk me out of it. Now, some of you are too nice for that. But some of you, you just got out of jail. Because you're saved, but you don't know how to walk in that manifest, preserving, healing presence of God. Praise the Lord. The first place is what we read about Lazarus. But I want you to say these words out loud. The sores of Lazarus. I believe you can find the manifest presence of God when you locate the sores of the people that seem detestable to you. Pastor said something really interesting. He said, we want to be like Jesus. It's a very interesting thing to say. I used to say it all the time. It scares me to say it now. I mean, I still say it. I'm just saying it's a little scarier. Like, you can't really say that too quickly. You know, it's the truth. And you want that to be the truth and everything. But when you start figuring out what that means, you know, basically, Christianity, whether we like it or not, is you're going to have to lose your will. You're just not going to be able to do what you want. You're going to have to do what God tells you to do if you want to have the results that God promises you. That's why you have to become a disciple, not just a casual follower. God has a plan for your development, and you have to follow it daily. Praise God. And it never ends at any age. 70, 80, 90, it's not over. You're still being discipled. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. I never want to stop being disciple. I need it. That's why He gave me a wife and children and people. The sores of Lazarus will come knocking on your door. You can keep the door shut like this man did. Or you can realize that when the sores of Lazarus, which are the ugly things about people that God has put in your life, I'm not talking about the people that are of Satan that you need to have nothing to do with, that need to be out of your life, that you never need to have. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about the people that are in your life from God. And you have to truly love those people with sores and all. Praise the Lord. Sores smell really bad. And something can be very detestable about a person. And it's at that point where the manifest presence of God can show up. Because once you and I start treating each other bad because we have sores, the presence of God will not be between us. It's when we say, look, that is an ugly sore you have. It smells really bad and it's actually turning my stomach inside out. I need to go pray and talk to God because right now I never want to talk to you again as long as I live. And I realize that's really bad. God will show up right there. Praise the Lord. All right, so give somebody a hug. and say, I believe your hair is real? Two, Proverbs chapter 2. If you will receive my words and hide them in your heart, if you will incline your ear to my wisdom and apply your heart to my understanding, if you lift up your voice and shout and cry out for the knowledge of the Holy One, if you lift up your voice in the streets and seek for me as for silver or gold or treasures, then you will find the Holy One of God. Praise the Lord. The manifest presence of God will show up in your life in any area where you are desperate for God. How many of you have ever been desperate for something? How many have ever been desperate? You know, if you went on a fast, you're desperate by the end of that fast. You're starving for food. You will eat anything. There's just basically nothing you won't eat. A pastor I was with last week or the week before, he said he did a 21-day fast and broke it on pizza. He went straight to the hospital. And you know what he kept telling me? It was worth it. He ate a whole large pizza after 21 days of just water. He almost killed himself, almost put himself in a coma. He said, I don't care, it was worth it. Do you know why it was worth it? Because he was desperate. And do you know why he was desperate? Because for 21 days he was meditating on the pizza. The pizza no longer was an ordinary pizza. It wasn't a regular pizza. It was the greatest pizza ever cooked on planet Earth. And for 21 days, it had been cooking, waiting for him. He could smell it in the night. He would wake up and it would be there. He would fantasize about it. He would pass the pizza places and it would talk to him. And so the power of that desperation created a reality for him. When you get desperate for God, the manifest presence of God in that area, God Himself is so honored by you being desperate for Him that His manifest presence will show up. Praise the Lord. Wherever you're content, wherever you're casual, wherever you don't care, wherever you're indifferent, no presence of God. That's why some of you can go through a whole church service and never have your life changed. You sing the songs, but there's no desperation in your singing. You hear the sermon, but there's no desperation in your hearing. Desperate hearing is a person that's at the edge of their seat because they have decided before they got there, I'm going to eat the pizza. Whatever God cooks, I'm going to eat it, and I'm going to let it change my life. Desperation. Then the pastor, whoever, or the Bible, or the Holy Spirit never has to preach the same sermon to you twice because you ate the pizza the first time. Praise the Lord. If you're not a desperate hearer, then there's no manifest presence of God. You just, that was boring. Let's go to the next thing. Right? You see what I'm saying? Not being desperate is how we tell God He's not worth chasing. That's how you tell God, God, you're not worth my hunger. You're not worth my appetite. You're not worth my pursuit. I'm not going to chase you. I'm going to fall asleep in church. I'm not going to bring a Bible. I'm not going to come to church more than Sunday morning. I'm not going to give tithes. I'm not going to forgive anybody. I'm just going to sit here and be tortured for however much time church is. And then I'm going to go and really live for what I'm desperate for. But there'll be no presence of God there, no manifest presence. I don't know about you. I need the manifest presence of God. You know, when I was young and preaching, my motives for preaching were different. I wanted to bless people and help people and do all that, but my motives were different. Now I think differently. Everything I'm trying to do, I want God to be pleased with it. So in order for God to be pleased, I can't want to please people. I have to want to please God. So I've got to remove my flesh from everything. My impure motives, my any manipulation, any phoniness, any techniques, I got to remove it all. And I got to present something raw and pure so that those of you that are going to really walk in the presence of God, you're going to want that, because every man and woman of truth knows the truth when they are hearing it. Amen. And everybody knows when they're being manipulated and managed. In 2 Chronicles 29, verses 19 through 22, and this is really interesting, you can read it on your own. Jehoshaphat is fighting, and I've told you this story 3 or 4 times, but Jehoshaphat is fighting with about 30,000 men. He's fighting 100,000 men. They go to war. They're ready to die for God or win a battle with 30,000 men, fighting 100,000 men. And the Lord says, today you don't have to fight. I just want you to praise and dance and do all that. And so they go out praising and they go out dancing, which is, you know, not easy to do for macho people. But they do it anyway, because in order to find the manifest presence of God that's going to work on your behalf, that's going to help you, God hides himself behind your pride. And until you're willing to remove your pride, the manifest presence of God will not step forward. How many of you understand anything about what I'm talking about? Does anybody have a pride problem ever? Do any of you get offended or insulted ever? If somebody makes you look bad, does that bother you at all? If somebody misrepresents you, does that bother you? If somebody tells a lie about you that makes you look really bad or that insults your character, how do you feel? Right? And I'm not saying be friends with these people and all that stuff, but what I'm saying is your pride is in the way of God's manifest presence. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It may not be popular to be humble, but it is the greatest character trait you can have for the presence of God. It is the number one character trait in heaven. Proud people don't go to heaven because they're too proud to bend their knees to God. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. It's not an accident that the knee has to bow. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Yeah. How many things have you done where you did not bow your knee to what God was telling you to do? Say, God, I'm not doing this. This is just not doing it. But what was waiting for you? The manifest presence of God. And what do you really need? The manifest presence of God. What does your body need? The manifest presence of God. What does your mind need? The manifest presence of God. In the middle of the night, how do you calm yourself? The manifest presence of God. How do you quiet your fears? The manifest presence. How do you overcome crazy people? The manifest presence of God. How do you make it through life? The manifest presence of God. It's behind your pride. Praise the Lord. Jonah was told by God, I want you to go and preach to Nineveh, and they need to repent. He said, I'm not going. I'm not in this. I'm not going. But you're a preacher. You're my prophet. You got to do it. I'm not doing it. He takes off. He says, I'm not doing it. Why aren't you doing it, Jonah? Because you are too kind, too loving, and too merciful. I want the fires of eternal hell to come upon the people. I want to fry everybody so that when I'm coming down the street, they'll be running for the hills screaming and yelling. He wanted to be God's rock star. And God said, no, I just want you to go in there and kind of tell them everything. And then I'm gonna convict them all. They're all going to repent. I'm going to save everybody. He said, I'm just not into that. That's really what Jonah said. He said, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't agree with you. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like the way you're going to do it. I know what you're going to do already. I know it. You're full of kindness, loving kindness, tender mercy, eternal love, and all that. I don't want that. Kill some people. I want heads to fly, body parts everywhere. I want children screaming in the streets. That was the spirit of Jonah.
Yeah.
And they threw him off the boat. The manifest presence of God is waiting for you wherever you're unwilling to go. Praise the Lord. You want to have the presence of God and the glory of God, it's going to wait for you where you don't want to go. I remember when I got saved, I hadn't even been saved a week. And I heard the Holy Spirit as clear as a bell, go to your stepfather who has beat the living daylights out of you for years as a kid. I want you to go over there. And I had gotten in a fight with him and I broke his jaw and I beat the living daylights out of him. I was in ninth grade, beat him up. We hadn't talked in a year. He wouldn't even look at me in the house. We never said a word. And the Lord said, go over there and ask him to forgive you. And I was too scared to say no, but everything inside me didn't want to do it. I stand before this evil man, a truly evil man, a truly evil man, 270 pounds of just meanness, like a junkyard dog. Alcoholic, drunk, and vomited on me twice while I was asleep as a kid. It's a terrible thing to wake up to somebody's vomit. You know, I was like 9 years old. And the smell of it, oh gosh, it was just horrible. And I have to go and apologize. And I stand in front of him. He's laying there in his recliner watching TV. And I stood between him and the TV. And he wouldn't look. He was just like that. And I said, I have found God underneath the tree, and I need to ask you to forgive me for what I did to you. I want to serve God now. And he starts to shake like that, and his whole body, his belly, and everything just shaking. He's crying and crying and crying. And he looks up, and he says, you know, I found Jesus when I was 13, but I turned my back on him in the Navy. I've never been able to find him again. He said, never walk away from God because you will become me. And we became friends till he died. You will find the manifest presence of God where you are unwilling to go. If all we're going to do is what we want to do, we're no different than lost people. Because our entire Christianity is all about being selfish.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to have the real thing. I want you to have the presence of God. I want some of you folks that battle with drugs and hatred and all kinds of different things to really be free. But I have to be honest with you. Your Christianity is not going to be really good without the presence of God. It's going to be a joke. And some of your flesh is so strong. Some of the iniquities of your life are so powerful. From generations of genetic servitude to the flesh that has been passed on in your DNA, that unless you are really close to Jesus, that stuff will not be cleansed out of your system. And a new DNA created where you become a new creature, a new species, and old things pass away. Only the presence of God can create a new DNA. And you no longer be like your mom or your dad or your grandfather or your grandmother. And you no longer have their genetic problems, their physically genetic problems, emotional, spiritual, mental. They are all broken forever by the manifest presence of God. Otherwise, you're going to be your mother. You're going to be your grandmother. You're going to be your father. You're going to be your grandfather. The DNA has to stop somewhere. Somebody in the family needs to rise up and say, look, I need the presence of God. Jesus, go where you don't want to go, and the manifest presence of God will be there. Don't be these religious Christians that just come to church on Sunday morning and you don't even bring your Bible. And you don't study the Bible all week long. The programs, go to Freedom Prayer. Get your discipleship. Get trained. Get your life changed. Get in a spiritual program with God. Start walking it out day by day, step by step. Adding and adding and adding in the presence of God. Start doing some of these things that I'm talking to you about because it's really, really important. Praise the Lord. Look at someone and say, Jesus, I need the presence of God. I need it. I hugged my mother for 3 years. I first got saved. She wouldn't talk to me. She wouldn't talk to me. She let me hug her, but she wouldn't talk to me. I'd broke her heart. As sure as there is day and night, I broke her heart. And I didn't know how to unbreak it. But I had to do what I did. She wanted me to go to college on scholarships and do this and do that. I came home, I said, I found God, Mom, underneath this tree, and I'm not going to college. I think I'm supposed to be some kind of religious person. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know there were preachers or what. And I just would hug her and cry on her and cry on her and cry on her. And one day she said to me, I went to her house, she came and she said, you know, tell me about him. And I said, Mom, she said, the last time you hugged me, I felt this warm peace for 3 days. And I want what you have. I have to have it. And I got to lead my mother, the sweetest woman on earth, to Jesus. Why? Because she didn't understand Bible doctrine. She didn't understand theology. She didn't understand anything. She understood one thing, a warm feeling that made her sleep all night, that did something on her insides that no words can explain, that no knowledge, theology, wisdom, intellect, that nothing can explain the presence of God. Nothing can explain how in a second of time, under the dome and hands of the presence of God, how all your fears are stopped in their tracks, and you have no fear for whatever time you're under the presence of God. You feel no terror in your soul about all the things Satan is lying to you about and all the things he's telling you about. You're going to drop dead and your children are going to die and this is going to happen and you're going to go broke and you're going to get murdered and they're going to get... All the lies of Satan are stopped in their track when you're inside the presence of God and in his hold. And that's what my mother said. She said, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I want it. Please. And I would go and preach, and my mother would be there every single time, smiling right there, sitting there, 100 pounds of just joy, just smiling at me. She'd hold my hand after the sermons, just like she did when I was a kid growing up. After every game, she'd hold my hand. She'd say, you're my favorite. Don't tell your brothers and sisters. She would. And I felt the presence of her love all those years. But now we're holding hands and it's a different presence between us. I would sing when we'd come out of church sometimes. And she would just close her eyes and just hold my hands. I'll never forget one day after I preached on the cross, what Jesus did at Calvary. And she looked at me. And she said, now I understand why you did what you did and broke me. She said, you couldn't have stopped. We would never be here. This would not be happening. You did the right thing. I just didn't understand. And, you know, we're just crying, just weeping in the presence of God, like you felt it on Sunday with the children, telling their stories. How could that be? How could Gabby see those things? How could people take advantage of these little children, tiny little children, and violate them like that and treat them like trash and dogs and horrible? And you just can't believe it's true. And then you see them all restored, all repaired. No issues about it. They can say, my father violated me, and not fall on the ground and weep and wail and cry and scream because they're healed, because they're restored, because they can see way into the future, because they sleep in the presence of God. They walk in the presence of God. And when Kimberly holds them, and Pastor Robert and Laura and all of us and everybody, and they hold them, and they're in America. Who in the world is in America? How did I get to America? I'm in America. They're giving me money. I'm going to Disney World. People are giving me money. Somebody gave me $20. They gave me $100. They're going to buy me. I got a plane ticket. I'm going to college. My college is paid. I'm going, rah, rah, rah. We're going to Disney World. It's the manifest presence of God. You'll never be like Jesus without it. Yep. It's a joke. This is just religion. You'll just know a lot and be mean. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We need to care for people. We need to care for each other. We need to stop being our horses. Holy God. So, the manifest presence of God, think about that. Where do you have it? Where do you not have it? Where do you need it? With which person in your life? When you're with that person, there's no presence of God between you. When you talk to that person, there's no presence of God. They're just two fleshly people. And anything can happen if somebody says the wrong thing. What situation do you face in your life? When that situation comes up, your heart sinks with fear and you just feel sick inside. Because there you need the presence of God, because it's the presence of God that will stop those thoughts from entering your mind. Unwilling sacrifices is where God lives. Any sacrifice you make that you don't want to make will produce the presence of God. We get blessed for taking care of orphans, but in all honesty, it's not a sacrifice for me. I know it's not a sacrifice for Robert and Laura. I know it's not a sacrifice for our family. People may think it's a sacrifice, but it's not a sacrifice. It's very selfish in a lot of ways, because you know why? Because according to my Bible, in James 1:27, that if I take care of orphans and widows, it's pure religion before God and man, which is going to bring me great favor. I have great favor in the world because I take care of orphans. It's not because I'm holier than anybody, or I love God more, or I'm more of a Christian. It's because I'm a little bit smarter than some people. That's the honest truth. I'm smart enough to take care of an orphan. That's all it is. It's not a lot of smart, but it's enough smart to get the devil off me and get the hands of God on me. Just for taking care of orphans and widows and the poor, I get God with me. I walk onto the orphanage and start crying, and I can't help myself. Strangers walk on there and just weep all day. What's wrong with you? Because they're feeling the what? The manifest presence of God. You're not going to find that serving your flesh, living for yourself, being selfish, doing your own thing, manipulating people, lying to folks, walking in the flesh, serving some lust, some perversion, something, some intellectual superiority that you have to have over people, and everybody has to think you're the greatest Christian and you're the smartest and nobody can insult you and nobody can say anything bad about you, or you know, you'll kill everybody. I mean, listen, everybody should have someone they can talk to about anything. Tell them all the things you want to do. I'm going to murder everybody. I'm going to kill everybody. I'll shoot them all. But they know, and you know, that you're just venting. Yep. It's okay. Some people, it works better when they talk. If they keep it in, they're going to die. They need to get it out. Praise the Lord. Others of you just hold everything in. What's going on? Nothing. Get it out. It's okay. You're not a terrible person. Just get it out. You'll feel better. Okay, great. Praise the Lord. I can be nice now. Thank you, Jesus. The manifest presence of God dwells wherever someone is sacrificing for someone else. We're not talking about being saved. We're talking about how you live in the presence of God. Praise the Lord. Anybody that takes care of the widow or the poor are going to have the manifest presence of God. Do you know that most Christians don't have even one orphan they take care of? They don't know the name of an orphan that they take care of? Now, we brought three orphans here. You happen to know their names because they're on your board. And because some of you have gone there and met them, Gabby was no stranger. You saw the picture of her as a little girl. Suseli, you saw the picture of her as a little girl. Juan Jose. Praise the Lord. We're going to bring some more. This next year, we'll get a whole bunch more coming. They'll be right here, sitting right there in front of you. And some of you will have known their names because you paid for their school, you paid for their food, you bought them uniforms, you visited them, you took care of them. And those children are stuck on your crown. Their name is in your crown. Their name of that child is on your crown because you made sure Satan didn't have access to them. And you are going to have and feel the manifest presence of God. Because if we don't have it, ladies and gentlemen, you are just as religious as a person that has never met Jesus. You just speak in tongues. But you're just as empty. You're just as mean. You're just as selfish. You're just as self-serving. You're just all about you. And it's ugly. And I don't want to end up in heaven standing there and God says, well, Ivan, I'm so sorry. You made it here. Let's celebrate that. However, you know, everything you did it with a very selfish motive. So I'm afraid none of it counts. You did what you did for you. You have your reward. You didn't do it for me. The only acceptable work is a love work. Without love, I am nothing. It profits me nothing. You'll find the presence of God with every widow you take care of, every orphan you take care of, every poor person you take care of, every unlovely person you love, every time you decide to stand for the unbiased truth, you will find the presence of God. Anytime you're transparent, you will find the presence of God. Anytime that you give and it hurts, you will find the presence of God. Anybody can give, but when you give and it costs you something, that is a sacred gift. Anytime you give and you don't care if you get a reward for it, that is the holiest of gifts. No reward giving is the secret of all the treasures and riches of heaven, is to give with no need of getting anything back. That is like Jesus. Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing? So here, let's do this. Let's all repent. What do you think? Praise the Lord. Let's all just repent. Let's repent for being selfish. Let's repent for being whatever we are, whatever, you know. Repent for lying, deceiving, being lazy, stubborn, prideful, willful, indifferent, callous, cruel. You know, repent for not taking care of orphans and widows. You know, Robert has a system. I think it's a dollar a day, isn't it, Robert? It's a dollar a day. Most of you may have to go up. But what's coming on? What'd you say? Oh, inflation. So I think it's a dollar a day. You know, he may put it at $2 a day. I don't know. But whatever it may be, if you're not a part of that, you should be a part of that. You know, that's not a lot of money, $30 a month. You know, and if you go to 60, I mean, it's not a lot of money. And of course, a lot of give many thousands of dollars in a year's time, special projects and all that. But whatever it is, let's just repent. Could you guys come up? Yeah. Let's just repent before the Lord. Now, tomorrow night, I'm going to preach a little bit, and then we're going to lay hands on everybody and prophesy and minister to every single person that shows up. Is that okay? And I want your heart to be prepared for the tangible presence of God. Because if all you do is feel the presence of God, but not allow the presence of God to lead and guide you and control your decisions, then you're just basically a drug addict that has just switched drugs. Your drug is now the presence of God, but you enjoy the presence of God because of how it makes you feel, but it doesn't change you. So it doesn't produce its true benefits, which is to change you from the person you are to the person you want to be. Praise the Lord. How about every chain is broken? Yeah, yeah. Sing that while people are repenting right now. So we're going to take a little repenting time, okay? And just ask Jesus to help us tonight. And just say, Lord, I want your manifest presence in my life. Gavin's going to sing this. He's going to play. And while they're doing it, you just repent. If you want to come up here and kneel down at the altar is a sacred place. It's where a person says, I need to go forward in front of the world and make a change. And I need to repent. And you kneel anywhere. You kneel any part of here, or kneel where you're at, or do whatever. But just say, Lord, I want to go where you're at. I want to live where you're at. I want to be where you're at. I want the manifest presence of God. We're not talking about a basic doctrine, God is with us all the time, God lives in us, and all the general things, because we're talking about the manifest presence of God, where you feel that beautiful Holy Spirit resting on your life, changing your heart, changing your attitudes, changing your spirit, changing maybe your relationships as a husband and a wife, maybe changing your family. I'll tell you, I am changed all the time by my wife. My wife is always changing me because of the tender sweetness that I see come out of her. Sometimes with all the things she goes through in her life with her family, brothers and sisters, she's got like 9 of them, and it's just amazing. And I just love seeing people who are always running to God for God to do what they cannot do for themselves. Praise God. If you've got a bad habit, come up here and say, Lord, I want to change that. I want to get delivered from that. Whatever you need, let tonight be a Holy Spirit encounter. Say, Jesus, would you change my life about my attitude concerning spending time with you or reading the Word or how I feel towards certain people in my life? Whatever it is, while Gavin and Tim sing, let's just let the manifest presence of God come down. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, son.
No longer a slave to fear, 'cause I am a child of God.